those very, very kind words of welcome. It is a privilege for me to be here and to set before you some of the great things God has done for me and is doing for me. So I thank him and thank you for coming tonight, and we trust the Lord will meet with us, that we'll have a heart meeting with the Lord as we consider the great things that he hath done for our souls. Your minister and his wife, both of them phoned us over this past week to let us know of their sorrow that they couldn't be here. I said, fear not. You're at a great time when you're celebrating the birth of another grandchild. Go away in peace, enjoy yourself, and hopefully there'll be a church left for you when you come back again. And I'm finished with the congregation here. But it is good to be here, and we trust that God will certainly meet with us around his precious word. Now, I'd like for you to turn with me to the word of God. First of all, a brief reading from the Old Testament, and then a brief reading from the New. Job chapter 23. 23, third chapter of the book of Job. And we'll begin our reading at the opening verse, verse number 1. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his rest. And then just skipping down to the verse number 8, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself in the right hand, that I cannot see him. It seems here that Job has lost the conscious awareness of the presence of God. And he had lost his way. And this, it would seem, was the worst of his many sufferings, that he just can't seem to find the Lord, that the conscious sense of his presence being with him. And even though Job had, it would seem, lost his way, we read in verse number 10 concerning the Lord, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Then turning to the New Testament, to the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we'll begin our reading again at verse number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we'll begin our reading at the verse number 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And we'll end our readings there, and we look to the Lord to add his essential blessing now to the reading from his precious and infallible word. Perhaps we could just pause briefly for a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we come afresh to thee tonight, seeking thy presence, seeking thy help, seeking thy blessing. And we pray that thy word will come to our hearts, not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance of the glorification of the Savior's name, the edification of the people of God, and the salvation of needy souls, perhaps gathered into this house this night. Lord, come amongst us. Give me help to speak well of the Savior. And we pray that in all things he shall have the glory. For we ask it in the dear Savior's name and for his sake. Amen. Many testimonies begin with the statement, I was born into a Christian home. And could I stop there and say, while that is true, and true in my case, it tells us the great power there is in a Christian home. This is Mother's Day. And maybe I could just say a special word concerning mothers. They wield a tremendous power with God. And we ought never to despise that. And we thank God especially for godly mothers who knew what it was to pray and to pray effectually and to pray their family, as it were, into the kingdom. And so this tells us of the great power and blessing of being brought into a Christian home. But while that's true in my case, you know, our testimony really has no beginning in this sense, that we were given by the Father to Christ before time began in the everlasting covenant of grace. Verse number 4, as Paul begins his opening words to this particular church, he begins with this verse number 4, knowing, brethren, beloved. Now, I love you, he's saying here. Knowing, brethren, beloved, but there's somebody that has loved you far longer than me. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. And long before I had any existence, God had this existence, his eternal existence, and you were ever on his mind. And long before you had any thought of God, God was thinking of you. And he never changed his choice of you throughout all eternity, knowing all the sin and depravity that we would commit. He never deviated from that eternal choice of his. I have chosen you. God said to his own disciples, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you go forth fruit and bring back fruit to the glory of the Savior's name. So we want to make sure in any word of testimony that we give the glory that is due. And that glory is due to God and him alone, to his electing love. And what joy this brings to the redeemed heart. What confidence. What a strong basis for salvation. What gratitude it brings to our own hearts. Wretches such as we. God placing his love upon us. What humility that God should ever think upon us. Every beat that we have of the heart, every breath of air that we take into these lungs of ours, every thought that we have is conceived of God. And how much we owe to the great God and our Savior. Then in time, God arranged for the word of the gospel to be set before me and prayer to be said for me. I was born in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada, in 1959, into a home where the fear of God was known, thanks to my Christian parents, who now are both with the Lord in the realms of glory. We had a family altar in our home. I can see it still in my own mind. I'd be sitting at the table, Dad at the head of the table, and down in the register there was a stick. And if any of us acted up during the time of devotions, we were soon to feel the end of that stick being apply. There was a family altar. There was family devotions each and every day as we met together around the things of the Lord. Sabbath worship was observed morning and evening. It was a Sabbath day, not just morning. Morning and night. And then we went back to some home afterwards for Christian fellowship. You know, I think one of the great tragedies of this awful pandemic has been the loss of Christian fellowship. I've left the house of God wondering, have I been at the house of God? Because there's been this lack of Christian fellowship with the dear saints of God. Never underestimate the power and the blessing that imparts to our hearts and to our souls. I was sent along yearly to a Christian camp, a Bible camp. I can see it still in my mind's eye on a beautiful lake, sandy beach. And we went there for a week each summer. And I can remember being concerned about my soul, making a profession of faith. But you know, God's word did not come to me in power, in saving power. Verse number 5, 1 Thessalonians 1. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. Now it must come in word. That's where it starts. But it came not in word only, but also in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And, of course, the power of the Lord was present on that occasion. And when, this is the great danger in coming to the house of God, or going anywhere where the Word of God is opened, read, and preached upon, that it should come to us in word only. And on many occasions before this particular time in my experience, such had been the case. Well, what is the result of that? It is nominalism. When a group of people is under the Word of God, and God is not present, God is not there working in the power of the Holy Ghost, that produces nominalism. Just going through the motions. That's a fearful thing. And I would have gone to hell listening to sermons, sermon after sermon, had not the Holy Ghost came and brought that Word of God, what a mighty word it is, in His own mighty power. That makes all the difference. And that's what we're hoping and praying that God will do in the some heart tonight. Maybe knows much of the Word, heard it many times. But tonight, we pray God will make a difference in that it will be accompanied by the power of the Holy Ghost. My brother and sister, both of whom are older than I was the youngest of the family, they went to New Brunswick Bible Institute. And at the age of 12, we went to a spring conference there, and the preacher was Pastor Willie Mullen. And he mentioned this in his book, Tramp After God. Now, the day of this gospel meeting I attended, I went to the home of the principal's son, Danny Robbins. And he took me that day down to the large river, the St. John River, and took me up a steep cliff, and we began to ascend up along a narrow ledge, maybe about a foot wide. And I never thought too much about it until I got about halfway up, and I looked down, and my head began to swim. And I thought, dear, I could see jagged rocks down below, nothing but jagged rocks above. And I thought to myself, oh, Danny boy, if I ever get to the top, you're going to hear from me. Well, in the mercy and grace of God, we made it to the top. I believe Satan knew something was going to happen that night that I knew nothing about. There's the wonderful doctrine of prevenient grace. We're kept until the hour of God that He calls us, and we're preserved. And certainly I was near eternity that night, that day rather, than I even at that point had understood. Satan, I believe, knew something that I did not know. I arrived at the meeting quite unconcerned about my spiritual state, but that soon changed. And you know what happened? The difference that night was this. God came to the meeting. I had a meeting with God. That's what makes the difference. God was there and is working in power. The subject matter that night was hell. And I knew for the first time in my life, really, that I was surely on my way there. Every step was taking me a step nearer to the lake of fire. And God really began to work and to move in my own heart. And I remember looking. Funny the things you remember as a child, looking at my uncle beside me, Uncle Billy. As far as I know, he never was saved, but I can still see the tears trickling down his cheek. He knew he was on his way to hell. And yet he didn't come that night. And I really believe that was Uncle Billy's final opportunity. There were tears, but no repentance. Tears! But no repentance. Any who had concerns were asked to go to the front. I was the very back pew, the long tabernacle building, and wild horses could not have held me back. And God really brought me under deep conviction, so deep conviction, I can tell you, I can't remember leaving that back pew, making my way up to the front. Then going across to a nearby adjoining complex, took some considerable time. I have no recollection of that. All I can recall is, as it were, coming to in this hall. And my, what a difference. I went into that hall deeply convicted of my sin, burdening me down to hell. But that point in time, the great burden had lifted. There was joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. God's word came to me in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. What a wonderful relief. What blessed assurance came to my heart and to my soul at that point in time. There was about 20, if I would gather, estimate, were gathered in there, that particular room. And I can still see that individual, in mind's eye. That person was out in the mission field. This person's in the pastorate. And they were dealt with that night in power, saving power, by the Holy Spirit. And the preacher that night asked everyone to give a word of testimony. And again, I was at the very back. And the very last person that he came to was myself. And I began, tried to tell them what had happened, but I couldn't. I was so full of the joy of the Lord, I couldn't speak. That's joy unspeakable. I couldn't put it into words. And that was some 50 years ago. And by the grace of God, I'm still giving my testimony. Never underestimate the power of a personal word of testimony. What God has done for you, that's a tremendous thing. That's a blessed thing. Satan wants us to lose sight of that, but you should never, never lose sight of the day and hour that God redeemed you by his own precious blood. So that was about a half a century ago, and by divine grace, I'm still giving a word of testimony. I've been telling you a little bit about my Savior, and I've been kept to this particular point in time because he is my Savior. But I want you also to recognize that he is my sustainer. And if there was just a little glass of water here, yes, I think I see one over there. I'm hoping it's not used, brother, but if it's wet, that's the main thing. That's all I want. He keeps us. He upholds us. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. So we're going to fast forward. In the interest of time, some half century, as far as my life is concerned, to a particular date, that's June the 22nd, 2019. That was our wedding anniversary. An anniversary that I will never, never forget. That was the day I suffered a massive stroke. And I, in a very short span of time, lost my health. I lost half, I think I can say, half my brain function. The left hemisphere was saturated. I lost my job. I lost my way of life. I lost my ability to walk. But I have not lost my salvation. I've been kept by the power of God. I have not lost my desire to preach. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. He doesn't give and then take away and change his mind. And I still have my Savior. In fact, he's more precious, he's more real, he's more powerful to me now than he's ever been. We were in Austria for our 28th wedding anniversary. And as my wife's gift to me, we were staying that night, June the 22nd, in the scenic remote village of Hofstadt. Beside the mountain, a large mountain, the foot of the mountain looking over a beautiful sea, large, it's called sea in Austria, and a beautiful hotel. We could just afford to stay there the one night. And around 10 o'clock in the evening, I happened to look into the mirror, and I noticed that the right side of my face had dropped, and I knew what was happening. And I said to my wife, I said, "Dear, I think I'm having a stroke." And that's the last thing that I remember, to becoming conscious the next day in the hospital in Salzburg. Now, immediately after my stroke, my wife managed to put me into the recovery position before seeking help. And of course, this is the natural thing for the child of God. Lord, help! What am I to do? Here I am in the middle, essentially, of nowhere, so far as my knowledge is concerned. What am I now to do? Everything is closed. In Hallstatt around 10 o'clock, the front desk was empty. But a definite, strong impression came to her mind, go outside. Now, it wasn't an audible voice, but that deep inner conviction of heart, go, that was the thought, go outside. But it was pitch dark. And all the cafes were closed, but out of the corner of her eye, she noticed some movement. And there were but two men, a couple of men over there just in the back of some cafe in the dark and speaking among themselves. And so she went over to them and said, can you please help? My husband, can you help my husband? And the man spoke English. And that was the first mercy. And he said, show me where your husband is. I'm a first responder from a rescue team. And I want to tell you something. If God in his providence did not place that man within eyesight of my wife, I wouldn't be here tonight. That's how close I was to eternity. He didn't know why he was there. Maybe he does now, I pray he does. But he was there, God placed him there. God uses the lost and the saved to do his will. And there he was, just waiting for that call to come his way. And that man took complete control in getting me airlifted to the hospital. And I would say, brethren, isn't God's providence something wonderful? You should experience it every day. You do experience it. And you should realize it. You're not here tonight just because it's a thing to do. You're here tonight in the eternal providence of God. God has willed from all eternity for you to be here tonight. To hear what God has done for this soul and body of mine. My wife then got down before the Lord, having her devotions. And that particular day, she followed McShane's reading. I'm sure some of you here follow that very same reading. And it so happened, this is the beauty of following a daily devotional plan. God is up to date with our experience. And this brings us up to date so far as his experience is concerned. Isaiah chapter 55, I'm sure many of you were familiar with that particular text. Isaiah chapter 55 and the verse number 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And that was just the verse that she needed at this particular point in time. These aren't your thoughts, these aren't your ways, but they're mine. They're all part of my great eternal plans as far as your lives are concerned. This hasn't taken me by surprise. I'm in control. This is my way for you at this time. And that immediately brought peace to her heart. To know that, of course you knew that, but to have it again brought before her heart from the word of the Lord, peace. The next morning, she phoned home. Our oldest girl answered. And she said, you must get people to pray. And you know, her efforts seem to go viral around the world. We've met Christians, some tonight, who have said to us, we've been praying for you. And God has been answering prayer. You're looking at answered prayer. I'm not just here tonight. I'm here because you prayed me here. Use the word prayed me into this pulpit. That's the way the minister should go into any pulpit. It's prayed in by the power of God and the prayers of God's people. And I want to thank you most sincerely for your prayers on my behalf. And again, I want to impress this upon your own heart. Tonight, I'm here. For better or for worse. In this pulpit, in answer to your specific prayers, please continue to pray. It's been a slow recovery. And I remember after about a year and a half, since the stroke, crying out to God, the Lord, is there not more to life than this? I just can hardly get through every day. You've promised to give us all things richly to enjoy. Can you not give me some enjoyment, at least where I can just, to some measure, enjoy life? Nothing wrong with that. And you know, since that point in time, God began, he really began to work in this area, the joy started to come. And I've had joy tonight in telling you what the Lord has done for me. After how many years? Great joy is in my heart. Now, in the morning time, the lady there at the front desk was back again at her particular station. And she had heard what had happened the night before, and she offered to give my wife a drive up to the hospital, about a two-hour drive. We had rented a standard vehicle. My wife can't drive a standard. She's used to automatics. And so she couldn't, she had no form of transport as far as she could drive up to the hospital. And this dear lady offered her and her boyfriend to take my wife up to the hospital. And I want to just to say that a good deed can have a powerful impact. You may see it as nothing. God sees every little act that you do for him and rewards it and will reward it. But little things can add up to large things. And when my wife at length did get to the hospital, she spoke, of course, to the doctor, and he said, look, he said, your husband has suffered a massive stroke. The whole left hemisphere of the brain, of course, is going to have repercussions down his whole right side. You're going to be here for months before he can get home. Doctor, she said, my family needs me. And she's thinking, too, I can't afford the medical bills. And I want my husband home for his birthday. That's July the 6th. That was June the 23rd. So we're only talking about a couple of weeks. I want him home for my birthday. And would you believe it? That doctor didn't realize the power of prayer. That same doctor organized an incredible plane journey to get me from Salzburg to Korain. All kinds of medical equipment, medical staff. And in less than 2 weeks, he himself never thought, that night he spoke to my wife, your husband's going to be here for months, he never thought that I'd be home in essentially a couple of weeks. But there's the power. There's the power of prayer. When God's people pray, I mean really pray, not go through the motions. When they really pray, what burden you have, if you get down before God and pray it through, God always answers. True, unbelieving, expectant prayer. I might just tell you this, some of the humorous things that happen, God never loses his sense of humor. Neither should we. And I was wheeled on to the plane. It was a lady doctor that particular occasion. And I said to my wife, is she going to seduce me? Of course, what I meant is she going to sedate me? That was you've heard of Mr. Spooner. Well, it's something that he gives to every preacher, maybe to us all, especially on those in preaching terms. Little words mixed up, and we get things not just the way that they ought to be. But my wife had a good laugh, and after I learned again how to laugh, I had a little laugh as well. I said other things. I'll not share with you some of the things that I just kind of got mixed up a little bit at the time. Just a word about those expenses. When Thelma booked the holiday, this is not an advertisement for MasterCard Gold, but she used that card instead of MasterCard Standard, we have both. And she used the gold card for no special reason that she was aware of. But it turned out that MasterCard Gold, its insurance coverage, covers all hospital costs, all hotel costs, all traveling expenses. And I want to tell you, God works in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. I look back at this whole thing, see, it's wonderful. It wasn't wonderful at the time, But looking back to us, it was wonderful the way God stepped in at every turn and gave us his help and his deliverance. While I was in the ICU in Salzburg, I asked my wife what she thought if I'd ever preach again. Now, I looked at her very carefully because I thought the expression would tell me what she really thinks. And without hesitation and with great certainty, she answered, "Yes, you're going to preach again, and you'll be even a better preacher." Now, what she meant, I think, by that is that I have had a deeper experience of God. And because of that, I'll preach with more conviction, more passion, more fire, as I stand before the people of God and tell them of our great God and our Savior. She's got a promise from the Lord. Now, I'll read it for you. Isaiah chapter 57. This is a few days later, you see, in the process. She's in time with the reading of the Bible, how vital that is. She would have missed this promise if she hadn't have been on time. God's never late. And there in Isaiah 57, verse 18, "I have seen his ways and will heal him." It wasn't instant. "But I will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners, and create the fruit of the lips." I create the fruit of the lips. "Peace, peace to him that is afar off and to him that is near, saith the Lord. And I will heal him." And so she knew. The secret of the Lord is with those that fear him. And if you want to know God's secrets and what God's going to do, fear him. And he'll reveal to you secrets. I'm not going mad here tonight. This is what the word of God reveals. You fear God, you get into his word, and God will reveal what he's going to do. And he gave to her this promise, and I will heal him. The secret of the Lord is with those that fear him. The fruit of the lips, isn't that very interesting? The fruit, that's preaching. Fruit of the lips. And this was going to be a great test to the and challenge to the promise God gave him many years ago when I first began to be dealt with by the Lord concerning full-time service. I had trouble with Spoonerism. Back to Dr. Spooner again. And I was concerned about this, and I brought it before the Lord, and the Lord gave me that wonderful promise in Exodus 4 and 12. "I will be with thy mouth." I will be with, I mean the mouth. Don't you worry about that. I create the fruit of the lips. "I will be with thee and teach thee what thou shalt say." And I thought, Lord, now it's going to be a great, great challenge to that promise you gave me many years ago. And God has been good to his word. I never thought personally I would be back in the pulpit. But God gave a promise. Do you have a situation? Anybody here with a situation tonight? A very difficult situation. Well, here's the secret. Get a promise from the Lord. That's all you need. All you need is a promise from God. Now, you'll understand why I'm saying that. Because if you plead that promise and claim that promise till you obtain that promise, all that you will need in terms of getting through that situation, however bleak it may be, God has promised, he's good to his word, he will successfully and triumphantly bring you through. Just get a promise. That's how God works. Get a promise from the Lord. And when you get that, in essence, you have everything that you will need. The fact is, you're alive tonight, you're here tonight, and that is proof that God still has a work for you to do. And God is not ruining you, but God is refining you. Within a matter of a few days after returning home from Austria, four different individuals shared with me Job 23, that's why we read it tonight, in the verse number 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth. He's not going to leave me there. He shall bring me through. He shall come forth as gold. Not only come forth, but come forth better than when he first went into the trial. And it's not been an easy process. Refining never is. But the Lord has brought me through thus far, and he has given me something of himself in return, something that I received I could not get otherwise. And it's not really then been loss. In one sense, it's been all gain. I've gained something of God that I could not have acquired otherwise, except through this difficult, fiery trial which he brought me through by his grace and by his power. And you'll find it to be so as well. Maybe you already have. I've experienced something of the Lord I never had until God has brought me through this recent dilemma, this recent trial. And it's not been easy, of course, for my wife either. Living with me at the best of times was never easy. But now she has a brain-damaged husband. That's the reality. They say that half your brain, or maybe 70% of your brain, is not used. Well, maybe some of it's being used now, I don't know. But the fact is, a large portion of the brain was damaged. And so it was a brain-damaged husband that she had. And she wanted our anniversary in Hallstatt to be her gift to me. But what she doesn't realize, it's probably my fault, is that next to the Lord, she is my greatest gift. Mother's Day. Mind you, if she offered me a return visit to Hallstatt, I only get half the day spent there. We didn't get the full day. I'd take her up on it and return again. It would be kind of a way of saying, right, I left not in very good shape, but I've returned, and God has brought me through. Friend, I don't know how much time I have. Of course, none of us do, but that was much in my mind after the days immediately following the stroke when I was there in cold rain. And when I was in the hospital, I was in a room with about five other men, all considerably older than I was. And the man next to me, he was 90 years of age, and his wife came in one day, and she told me that he had a stroke. And when she said that, I really perked up. He took a stroke. You recognize the situation I'm in at this point. He took a stroke at 71. Well, I did the arithmetic. That's about 20 years. That's a full generation God gave. And that man was there in that hospital bed reading his Bible. He was a Christian. I couldn't speak to him at that time, but I didn't have that ability. But he wanted to tell me that was a great boon of blessing to him with his Bible open. God gave him another 21 years. That's what I say. God has a sense of humor. He had all sorted out. And it's as though he was saying to me, if I want you to live 20 years, whatever the case might be, you leave that up to me. Your job is to feed my sheep. Whatever time I give you, you feed my sheep. And when leaving the hospital, the doctor said to me, live to 100. This is the same doctor who said I had leaky plumbing at the base of my neck. Could go anytime. Do you know we're immortal? We are immortal till our work is done. With God, all things are possible. He brought me back from the brink of eternity. That's the only reason why I'm here tonight, in addition to your prayer. It's God that's brought me back. Whatever time God gives us, to be sure of this, God will redeem it. How? In refining us and reusing us. And the best is yet to be. I find myself, I was watching tonight, some elderly people especially. And I saw them walk in here. I never noticed people's walk, really, until recently. And they walk in, even the spring in their step, saw them getting out of the car with comparative ease. Things that I never took a second thought about until now. And I thought, well, I can think my way. I can think my way to walking without a limp. Just watch the mechanics. Watch that person walk. And I gave up after about 2 weeks. I thought, this isn't working. It doesn't work. And one day, it's going to change. Many of you can outrun me or outwalk me now, but not in glory. I like to think that there I'll be a step or two ahead of you as we skip over those golden hills to glory together in the blessing of the Lord. One thing is for sure, and that is God has great things in store for those who love Him. He has great things in store for those who fear Him, those who wait for Him, and those who trust in Him before the sons of men. When I am cast down, I still get cast down. And when I'm in despair and things look bleak and black, and I can't make sense of things, I often think of William Cowper. I think of that wonderful hymn that he wrote, and I'm going to close with this tonight, God Moves in Mysterious Ways. Can I just read a verse or two before we do bring the meeting to a close tonight? Maybe you're in some valley experience. Well, I want you to think about these wonderful words that Cowper wrote. By the way, Cowper had great difficulty emotionally, mentally. Maybe he even experienced, it is said, paranoia at times. Terrible depression. Tried to kill himself on more than one occasion. He tried a penknife one time to kill himself. The penknife broke. He tried to hang himself from his bed frame. The frame broke. Then he finally has succeeded, he thought, hanging himself from the door opening, and eventually the rope broke. And he thought to himself, I can't even kill myself. Now, don't take me wrong here. You're immortal. You don't go at your time, you go at God's time. God has the time. And on one occasion, he was committed to commit suicide in the River Ouse, but before he jumped in, he was distracted. A carriage of horses went on by him. And when he went home, he sat down and penned the words of this hymn. God moves in a mysterious way His wonders to perform. Wonders. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. He's in control. Deep in unfathomable minds, can't figure that out, of never-failing skill, He treasures up His bright designs and works His sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, physicals, temporal, things you see, feel. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Faith is a far more firm foundation. It will open your eyes to see what God is doing. Trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. That's the most wonderful thing. There's one thing for sure, and that is this: I will never be in hell. As bad as things may get down here, child of God, you and I will never be in hell. We'll never know the terrible agony of those fires. Things may seem to get pretty dark, but they'll never be as dark as the blackness of hell. And we should thank God tonight that His smile is upon us. Not His frown, but His smile, because we're in union with Jesus Christ. And we tonight can smile at the storm. With Jesus in the vessel, I can smile. Are you smiling tonight? There was a time in my experience I thought I would never smile again. But with God, there's always the wonderful blessing of that end that He has in store. What about you tonight who may be here outside of Christ and the frown of God is upon you because you're still in your sin? And while God's smile upon me will never change because of Christ, he never changes. That frown can be changed in your case. As far as any unsaved soul is concerned, it can be changed immediately by you coming to Christ, leaving your sin behind. And tonight, instead of coming into this building, as it were, with the smile of God, frown of God upon you, you can leave with a smile. Will you not go to Christ? He's a wonderful Savior. Not only saves, but he keeps, sustains, satisfies, strengthens everything. He does it all. And if you were to leave sin behind tonight, that'll only take you down to hell. And come to the Savior, he can take you up to paradise. And he'll give you a new song in your heart. And a smile, so far as the things of this life are concerned. Well, I trust the Lord will take his word tonight and in his own way use it for his own purpose and for his own glory. And we trust that God will speak to all who've gathered in to this meeting. Our brothers asked me if I would close the meeting with prayer and then just to give a word of thanks so far as the good things that have been provided, and we'll do that just now. We'll just have a close with a word of prayer, please. Our gracious Father, we give thee thanks for thy help and blessing tonight, and we pray that thou wilt speak on to the dear saints of God in this place, encourage them, strengthen them, bring them through. And we pray that, gracious Father, they will look back and say, my, what great things the Lord has done for this soul of mine. Should there be any here outside of Christ, oh, they have the greatest distress of all, being lost in nature's darkness, lost in sin. We pray that, Lord, you'll speak to them tonight what God has done for me and for many here. He can do for them. And we pray that you'll save them. May thy word come to their hearts in saving power. May they leave a new creature in Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, continue with us. Give us safety in our return home again. Bless us as we meet for a few moments around these good things provided. Strengthen us by them. Bless, we pray, our fellowship one with the other and meet. And, O God, go with us until, in the grace of God, we should meet again. For we ask it in the dear Savior's name and for his sake. Amen.